the NRF1 podcast. Visit nrf1.uk or Twitter and Facebook at the NRF1. It was so good, I shouted wow twice and I bit my lip. Hello and welcome to edition 218 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are at Archant Towers in the centre of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio and we are here to review a superb 2018 Chinese Grand Prix, as well as have a quick glance forward to Baku, a word that officially means nuts. Coming up, don't mess with honey badgers. He's maxed out again, and Pierre running out of gas. Wonder what they could all be. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and joining us on tonight's pod, we have budding F1 correspondent Callum Springall.
Good evening.
And Damon Hill radical and blogger Richard Baxter, hashtag point hole.
Good evening.
How are you, gents? You both well, Callum?
Reasonably good.
Yep.
Reasonably. Reasonably.
So good he said it three times. I like that. Rich, how are you doing? How's the Mustang?
It's good. It's blue.
So you've cleaned it?
I did give it a proper good clean yesterday, yeah. It needed it. We had a bit of nice weather this weekend, so thought what better time to get out and clean it. And just in time for the birds in the tree out the front. They've just had babies and you can guess what's happened now.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Beautiful. Well, that serves you right for having a Mustang, as far as I'm concerned. And the weather has turned here in the UK, which does mean that feels like the Formula One season is getting properly going when the weather turns, so that's all good. Hope you guys are all well out there too. We have got a lot to get through in this podcast, so let's get straight on with it. The Chinese Grand Prix, superb. For some reason, I haven't quite got around to watching anything live yet. New kid and all that. Another new kid. So I was desperately trying to avoid the result, and I saw a couple of tweets, and they were making out that it was really boring, and I thought, oh, how am I going to sit through 3 hours of knowing that it's before I've started watching it? But then it clearly wasn't, because I thought it was a cracking race. Rich?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of started off, and you could, up until the first pit stops, you're kind of thinking, here we go, this is going to be so straightforward, nothing was really happening too much. But as soon as we got to the first round of pit stops, things started to happen, and of course Bottas jumped and took the lead. And from there, it all just kicked off, and it was racing. So, I mean, yeah, maybe the first quarter or so wasn't that entertaining, but as soon as it got going, it was a real good race.
I kind of downplay, well, I didn't downplay, I really enjoyed Bahrain, and I kind of felt, actually, I should make the most of it, because once all the teams know what's going on and the tyres and everything, we might not get many races like that. But was China better than Bahrain?
I think I preferred Bahrain, to be honest, because it was a little bit more of a genuine race rather than just being spiced up by a safety car and whatever, and actually had pretty much everything you want, which was racing over more or less every position right until the end of the race. But even so, I think sort of 3 or 4 years down the line, we'll probably remember China as being one of the better races we've had in recent times, and almost certainly be up there with Hungary 2015 and Baku last year. Oh. Kind of, because it was just driving standards for some parts. But yeah, you can't really complain when you get an eventful race like that.
Definitely a discussion point over the use of actual and virtual safety cars, but I think we might save that one for the Patreon podcast that we will be recording just after this one. All hail Daniel Ricciardo, for those who have only just started listening to us. That is how you pronounce his name, and it's taken us 5 years to figure it out. Daniel still hasn't got there himself. Colossal drive. As I say, made me go wow twice with two of his overtakes. Oh, I just wish we'd see more of that from him, because I spent a lot of my time going, Max Verstappen this, Max Verstappen that. Danny's going to be in real trouble if Max ties it all together. When Danny Rick races like that, you're like, the guy can easily compete with Max Verstappen. He's already torn Sebastian Vettel a new one on the same team. He should be delivering regularly like that, because it was stunning driving.
It really was. It was, really showed his class and his quality as a driver there, and as a racer as well. I think really that's probably the first chance he's had this season to really show what he's got, and to say, look, I'm here, I've got it. And I mean, really, Australia, it was a difficult race for everyone. Bahrain, he retired after a couple of laps, I think it was. So this was the first race, he's had a really good result. And he was such a good driver. And I remember at the start of the season on our Facebook group page, you said, this season it's all about Max for you.
And
you're really talking about him.
Thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah. I commented and said, I think Ricciardo might have something to say about that. And he did. And he just kind of managed to show he's got the aggressiveness he needs to overtake, but he's also got the wise head on him to know exactly when to do it and everything else that you need. So he really came across well in that race.
Two wonderful overtakes. I mean, the one on Bottas was just super. I mean, that was like, get out of the way, I'm coming down here. And Valtteri had no option. The one on Lewis I thought was brilliant, especially, and in fact Danny Ric picked up on it when he did his post-race interview, that the onboard view of his overtake on Lewis was brilliant because of how he did it on the brakes. When you saw the view from sort of behind the corner as they were approaching, it didn't really do it justice at all, because the way he snapped on his brakes and overtaking a guy like Lewis, I know he wasn't at his best, but in that way at that turn, it was a crucial time as well. Both like, oh, you nailed it, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, you can't come from that far back against anyone with, you know, and overtake them without sort of creating a bit of a scene, even though Hamilton wasn't really going to fight anyone. And yeah, as he says, sometimes you just got to lick the stamp and post it, or send it, sorry.
You've been desperate to say that, haven't you? I can tell. We'll just mention Kyle, good old Kyle Cumbers, off of the pod. He got in touch on the in the WhatsApp group just to post a message. A lot of talk about Danny Ric and his future, because of course he's out of contract at Red Bull at the end of this season. And suggestion, as you mentioned before we started recording, Callum, that there's just sort of a letter of intent or some sort of written agreement that he'll consider Ferrari. Don't know whether what that's actually worth, but clearly Ricciardo's future is certainly up in the air. But Kyle says that would he really want to go to Ferrari and possibly end up being the next Ferrari bitch? What a job title that is. I don't know if that'd be in the contract or not. It was shocking how Ferrari treated Kimi Raikkonen on Sunday with his strategy, and he has every right to tell Ferrari to do one. Now, whether he means Kimi or Danny Ric there, I don't know. But it's going to be a big decision for Danny Ric in terms of what happens at the end of this year. And I mean, as I said, Red Bull feel like they've put everything behind Max.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I suppose if we're going to say anything about Ricciardo, it's that ultimately against Verstappen, most days he lacks the raw pace. You know, you look at China, he was a couple of tenths down in qualifying, I think. So that's something that happens quite regularly, and he's only really, or he's not had a lights to flag win yet. I know he's not had a lot of chances, but he's not even won from inside of the top four or something like that.
Yeah, top three. He hasn't won from the top three. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
So he's somewhat of a fortuitous driver when he wins. Maybe that could change if he goes to Ferrari. But on the subject of whether or not he'd be their I think he's probably too much on a level with Vettel for that to really happen. And we've seen in the past that Raikkonen really hasn't been on Vettel's pace, which is probably why he is in the position that he's in. You know, if you have a driver that is actually legitimate and is sort of a proper world-class driver, you know, if you look at all of Ricciardo's qualities, then he is world-class, then perhaps you're not going to be quite so, or not going to have quite such a tendency to go against them. And they've been in that situation before with Raikkonen and Massa, and they pretty much gave them equal footing, so I don't see why they wouldn't again.
Indeed, although if Ricciardo ends up at Ferrari, I would assume Vettel doesn't have a veto on who his teammate is, because I can't imagine that Danny would be too high on Seb's list. Real victory for Red Bull as well, wasn't it, Rich? The way they double-stacked both drivers twice, phenomenal how they... We talked a lot in the last couple of podcasts about pit stop safety and all that sort of stuff, but the way they double stacked them and just chucked them through, absolutely outstanding. Danny Ric didn't have an engine in his car after FP3 and managed to turn it around in time for him to get through Q1. Phenomenal effort there again. I mean, he did his bit, of course, but he owes so much to the team for getting him round and doing it in the most efficient way.
Absolutely. It's a team game, team sport at the end of the day. You need everyone pulling their weight and doing their bit. The strategy was spot on. The mechanics were spot on during the work. I mean, we had two pit stops in the space of 10 seconds and no one was hurt. It wasn't an unsafe release. So there's, you know, after what recent events, people were calling for pit stops to be changed. I mean, they can shut up now because you've seen it works. It's fine. Nothing needs to change. And it's just one of those things where you saw the whole team pull together for that win. And they quite simply could have had a 1-2 if it wasn't for a few of Verstappen's adventures along the way. But I mean, it's strange how even the strategy played out, because I think Vettel said when he heard the safety car was coming out, he could have tried to dart into the pits, but he would have got a penalty because he was the other side of the bollard. So, you know, Bottas was already passed, Vettel was passed. But Mercedes didn't call Hamilton in. They missed there. And I just think, are Mercedes kind of concentrating too much on what Ferrari are doing and not thinking about their race and not thinking about the other team, Red Bull, who are, you know, up there with them?
That is a cracking discussion point that we will be getting into over the course of the next two podcasts. Don't worry about that, Rich. I did want to touch on Max Verstappen, though. I mean, I, to be honest, come while the race was on, was quite ready to lay into him because he kind of blew it, really. He was ahead of Danny Ric at a time when both Red Bulls should have been able to make their way to the very front of the race. He blew it with his mistake and erratic overtake attempt, I guess, on Vettel. And I think other people agreed. The Daily Express, which is one of the newspapers here in the UK, probably not one of the better ones, Callum shaking his head, they had ridiculous headlines saying Red Bull boss slams Max Verstappen, where actually he was saying, yeah, you know, he did make a mistake. All right, well, you know, fair enough. Another one saying, Max Verstappen, I'll never change, where the actual intro was basically him saying, yes, this is a learning experience, which I would say indicates he's definitely going to change, stroke learn from it. So pretty ridiculous. People clearly want to lay into him, which I guess is quite a British mentality for a talent anyway. But he was humbled afterwards. The way he spoke after the race was quite humbling. He went over and clearly had a really humble conversation with Sebastian Vettel that involved him apologising, by all accounts. That's what it looked like. And I think that's what certainly Sebastian has said since. So it'd be really lovely if that clicked. And that was something where, because it's been a strange start to the season for Max. He seems to have an engineer who's desperate to knock him down and maybe getting it wrong. And I know Kyle in the last pod said he wasn't too happy with how his engineer was dealing with it. He was already telling him to calm down after the first couple of laps on Sunday, and it seems like we're still not quite there yet with Max, and he's obviously still a young guy, but you know, you'd like to think we're going to see a little bit more of him than last year because that was, for me, a season where it was a great opportunity for him to iron everything out coming into this year where he could really challenge.
Well, you say that, but if you look at pretty much all of the current crop of top drivers, even 4 years into their career, as Verstappen is, they've still made mistakes as Verstappen is making. You know, if you look at Hamilton's fifth season in 2011, it's almost like he was crashing into someone every other race. And
is you digging at Lewis Hamilton again, Callum?
And Vettel as well. I mean, he was making mistakes in 2010 and driving into the side of Webber. So it's just, you know, even people of such prodigious talent still have so much to learn, even after 100 or 80 odd races. So it's not the case that he should be crucified or demoted back to Toro Rosso, as I saw one person say on Twitter.
Who was that?
Apparently he's believing his own hype, so he obviously knows him well. But yeah, it's just something that he's going to learn from. It's just the natural career progression of a driver.
Yeah, I mean, I think Callum said it, you know, every world champion there's been at some point has made mistakes. We've seen great drivers come into the sport and they have been very hot-headed when they first arrived, and they've kind of calmed down over the years. I mean, Montoya springs to mind. He had his moments where he was quite hot-headed, but some of the overtakes he did were sensational. And I think it's one of those things, every single driver at time is going to make a mistake, and Verstappen happened to make a couple of that race. I think part of it is everyone's used to him now. He caught people off guard when he first came in. He'd throw it up the inside, they'd be like, whoa, wasn't expecting that, and of course he'd get the overtake done. But I think now people are thinking, he's going to try and come through here, I'll defend, and yet he'll still try, and you know, there'll be contact, for example. So I think it's just kind of, people are getting used to him. It's just a little bit more patience. But there's nothing that needs to change. It's just, you know, keep going, because that's what racing is all about at the end of the day, is people overtaking. And if everyone's going to be on their best behaviour, and we're not going to see anything, are we? So,
in the words of Sebastian Vettel, I don't need to say anything about that. Now, a quick reminder of the best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three at the NRF1. We've also got a Facebook group that you can join. It's in its infancy. We will definitely get that motoring along now that I'm, you know, a bit more awake during the day. And once I've caught up on a few other things like the Prediction League. So it's on the list. Superb Facebook group, get involved. As I said, the Facebook page is at the NRF1. That's the handle. We love getting your emails too. We've of course had some crackers whilst we've been going, and we'd love to read more. We always take them in, and we'll also give them a shout out on the podcast as and when necessary. The email address, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. If you want to ask us or tell us anything, get in touch. And of course, there is our website too that ties everything together, nrf1.uk, for all the links you could possibly need to immerse yourself in the NRF1 podcast. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. There is DT's pit stop impression. Maybe we'll have to start quickening that up. I don't know if it's 2 seconds, but there we go. Just the three stops on this pod. And first of all, Mercedes. Is it over? The era of Mercedes dominance, Callum?
Not necessarily. We know from Australia that they've got as much pace as they did last year, if not more of an advantage than they did last year. But what we also know from the last two races is that it is as much as a diva, if not more than it was last year. Because mean, it's so dependent on tyre temperatures and circuit, like the surface of the circuit and whatever. And the result of that is that you can end up 0.8 ahead, or you can end up half a second behind. So if they ironed them out, they would probably still be half a second ahead at every race.
Fascinating dynamic, I think, this year between Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton. And we'll get stuck into that in the other podcast, I think. Interesting that Lewis made a comment saying, he thinks that the car's only second or third fastest on the grid, and that if it carries on like this, then he won't win the championship this year. And, you know, a lot of people made a big thing of that, but of course he won't win the championship this year because they haven't won a race yet. I mean, there's a completely logical statement with no particular drama. The idea is that it doesn't carry on like this for the rest of the season. Remarkable in a way, I suppose, that they're leading the Constructors' Championship, yet they haven't actually won a race yet.
It comes down to teamwork, a lot of it. I mean, Ferrari did have a DNF, of course, last race. But the Mercedes, you know, they're going to be quick. They're going to be up there, and I think they will win races. And for the third race in of the season, out of 21 races, I think it is this year, it's ridiculous to say their season's over, they're not going to win it, because you're not going to get a clear sign of that until the midway point. As we've seen before, Hamilton, if he goes on a bit of a run and gets 3-4 wins in a row, he could suddenly turn it around. I mean, he had a big deficit to Rosberg in 2016, was it?
Yeah.
15 or 15? 15? Yeah, you turned that around.
Yeah. 14.
All the years. He always had a big deficit and then ended up beating Nico, poor guy.
But yeah, he turned it around. So we've seen drivers do it in the past. If he was that far behind, he could do it again. But to be honest, I'm enjoying seeing other people win. I'm glad it's close. That's what we've all asked for, and that's what we're finally getting. So more, please.
Yeah, it is definitely the novelty value for sure. I'm just going to reiterate the point that after two races, I said Ferrari have the quickest car on the grid. So we'll see if I get it. DT said it's too soon to tell, but I think we'll come back, and I think that will be proven right.
What it is. Since Mercedes did on their nose, they all kind of quite sleek before and quite straight. And then last year they kind of made it, and there's this kind of bobbly bit halfway down on the nose. I don't know how to describe it.
Sounds about right.
But if they, I'm blaming that. It was on last year's car, it's on this year's car.
Those aerodynamicists, they've just put a massive bobbly bit on the nose and all of a sudden it's 2 seconds quicker. Yeah. Love it. I'm with you, Rich. We'll keep an eye out for that, definitely. Let's also stop off at Toro Rosso, shall we? Because we did last time and we gave them such praise, and I did a impression a couple of times. I think it was more this time, as Pierre Gasly basically drove into his teammate. Now, Brendan Hartley, let's be honest, he's pretty he doesn't really seem to have much about him. Rich is busy showing me the bobbly bit on the nose. See, Lewis can't see over it.
Maybe that's it. But I don't know. It doesn't make the car as good looking. So
therefore, it's not as quick. Yeah, too true. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. So, Toro Rosso, right on medal. Brendan Hartley, I'm not buying it, really. I don't really know why he's in F1 because he doesn't strike me as good enough. So correct me if I'm wrong. He's filling a seat. Maybe he's got a couple of quid behind him. Pierre Gasly going from such a brilliant race and qualifying to kind of getting it all wrong. I think it went down as a miscommunication, didn't it? As in, he probably thought Brendan was letting him through. But, I mean, yeah.
Well, Hartley was supposed to let him through at the end of the straight, and obviously he didn't, went a little bit wide, basically because he didn't know where Gasly was. So then Gasly takes this as the indication that he's going to go through, tries to go through, and then obviously Hartley, in Gasly's words, closes the door. So it's a bit of a miscommunication, and yeah, it's
that is f***ing shit, isn't it? That really is. I mean, and it's like opening the door and then slamming it in the face. It's just like, I'm going to keep repeatedly. Maybe Brendan's hair got in his eyes. I don't know. Just a real shame. But let's be honest, Toro Rosso were nowhere near it. So we're assuming that Bahrain was a really weird flash in the pan, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I wrote in a blog that I saw was shared on the NRF1 Twitter page as well.
Flag up the blog address.
It's blogsonwheels.wixsite.com /blogsonwheels. Okay. It's free, so it says Wix site. But, you know.
Callum, I have one soon as well.
Go for it, why not? Let's all get one. But no, I wrote on there and just said, you know, whether this is a sign of things to come with Toro Rosso getting that fourth place, I'm not convinced. And it's from that race, it kind of proved my point. I think, yeah, it kind of got to Gasly's head a bit, that fourth place. So I kind of think he was thinking he was quicker than he was. It was just a really daft move by both of them. If you're going to let your teammate through, and you've got a whole straight, if you don't know where he is and you've got mirrors and you've got a team on the radio, it's something you can do about it, surely. It just seemed daft to me, and But I'm not going to complain too much because we got a safety car, which spiced the race
up.
Well,
that's true. Oh, yeah, we should all really thank Brendan Hartley for being that
Say, is it not quite coincidental that in Melbourne, Haas f***ed up and benefited Ferrari, then in China, when Toro Rosso f***ed up, it benefits Red Bull, yet the only one, or the only incident where anyone cries conspiracy is when it happens to Ferrari. So apparently, it's all well and good being Red Bull because you can do whatever you want. When you're Ferrari, apparently you've got history in fixing races and all sorts of other conspiracies and Ferrari international assistance and whatever.
Let's forget about 2010 Abu Dhabi, shall we, when the Renault engine just happened to hold up the other Renault engine car.
Who doesn't love a conspiracy? Let's move it on quickly. Renault, I did just want to touch on Renault because they've clearly made a nice little jump forward. And interestingly, Nico Hülkenberg does seem to be having the best of Carlos Sainz at the moment. And Carlos doesn't really seem to be on it at all. And I guess it's interesting with Renault as to where that benchmark should be for McLaren, because we've had a lot of talk about McLaren. McLaren were third in the Constructors' Championship before the weekend. They're not now, obviously. You know, are they... Should McLaren be beating Renault? Should they be closer to Renault? But also Nico Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg had a brilliant race. You could almost say inherited his position because of the events of what happened with Verstappen and Vettel and whatnot. But ultimately, you have to be in the position to take it up in the first place. He's qualified 6th, 7th, is it his favourite grid spot, I think? 7th. Yeah. It always seems to get there. So, I mean, he's showing as a quick guy. Okay, he's yet to win a race, but he's still consistently scoring points. That's good. But it always seems to be both Renault and McLaren. They've got one driver who's getting up there and getting good points, and the other one's a little bit, you know, 3-4 places behind at the minute. I think, you know, McLaren are saying you're targeting Red Bull, but if they're doing that, then surely Renault should as well. If it's the same engine they've got the people on board. They, you know, surely for the aero package and everything, so you'd hope that you can have all three teams fighting closely.
But how does that work? Because Renault are the works team. So surely Renault are going to have better engine updates and what have you than McLaren will have.
Well, I suppose if you go back to 2012 and so on, when you had, probably starting from 2010, when Mercedes came back as a works team in Formula 1, it took them a while to get going. And of course, McLaren were then running Mercedes engines and most of the time ahead of them. Obviously, that switched now with all the rules changes, but... I'm not that surprised, but it is also, you would think, why are they not up there? Surely they could be alongside him.
Well, I think it'd be a great, if Nico Hülkenberg continues this and finishes comfortably ahead of Sainz, I think that would be a regeneration of his career almost. Le Mans winner, Nico Hülkenberg, will bring back that as well. Good times. Right, many more pit stops and chats about the Chinese Grand Prix in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, go straight over now to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. .com/NRF1. Actually, wait until after this podcast. That'd be better. And as a special treat, our pre-Bahrain exclusive podcast is available for everyone to listen to. If you fancy having a listen to what they're like, again, just visit patreon.com/NRF1. And a big thank you to all you... Are we on the normal pod still? Yeah. And a big thank you to all the guys who have signed up as Patreons. We love you. Thank you. We will aim to give you everything we possibly can. And we're due a list of all those people joining. So that will be coming in podcasts very soon, I can promise you. Right. Time is rapidly running away. So our of the weekends, Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. I think some of these might be quite straightforward. Driver of the weekend.
For me, I want to give it to Ricciardo, yes. But worthy shout for Hülkenberg as discussed.
I would say Bottas.
Shout.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was consistently ahead of Hamilton. I think it was a quarter of a second ahead in Q1 and half a tenth ahead in Q2, which supposedly for the team's donkey isn't that bad. You know, not bad for a number two driver.
Yeah, yeah. That was bitch, isn't it, the new phrase?
What?
It's now, isn't it? It's Ferrari's bitch.
Mercedes bitch, yeah. And, well, I have to beep bitch. I'll have a think about it.
And, yeah, got a better start than Hamilton. Better race pace, I think we can say, by far. And did quite a tidy job all weekend and was unlucky not to win.
Yeah, and he was the one who probably got done by the safety car, basically. But it was Danny Ricciardo. Sorry, Callum. Team of the weekend. Yeah.
Ripple.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The pits and the engine turnaround, phenomenal. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. Who royally f***ed it up?
See, now, when I was watching the race and after the race, I was thinking, Verstappen all the way, he's messed up, he's just got a bit nuts. But because of how he acted after the race, he came out and he said he made a mistake and he apologised. I thought fair play, he's being straight and humble about it. So I'm actually going to give it to Gasly, Hartley, Toro Rosso in general, just because it was so stupid. It's just so daft.
Franz Tost was extraordinarily angry afterwards. Callum, give it to Charles Leclerc if you want.
No, never, never. I think I would give it to the Ferrari strategist. Because had they covered off Red Bull as opposed to focusing on Mercedes, they probably would have still been in decent position to win the race.
We didn't even get to mention Romain Grosjean having to do a switch with Magnussen after about 5-7 laps or whatever, and I think he's still angry about that now, to be honest. Brendan Hartley, ridiculous. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend. Well, A, we got to hear from him, so that was, of course, one of the moments of the weekend. What would you like to give it to, Callum?
Probably Ricciardo's engine blowout in FP3. Not seen one of them for a while.
Yeah, it was a spectacular one as well. Rich?
I think probably Ricciardo's move on Bottas, because Bottas was defending hard. He was saying, you're not coming through, you're not coming through. Did everything by the book, left space for him as you have to. And he still took that space in an inch either side and got it stopped in time for the corner as well. So that was a good move.
Certainly the point at which Ben Edwards' voice got it to its highest pitch.
It did. And I also have to say, I don't know if this is a good moment or a strange moment as such, but Nico Rosberg, he's not racing now, but I've seen on social media, he's kind of having these weird memoirs thing. So they were showing, he was like, oh, my first race win. And he was watching China 2012. And it's just him watching on a laptop, talking about it, showing little clips from the race and stuff. It's all on social media, on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, like his own channels?
Yeah.
Oh, he needs to f*** off. Like, I mean, they're not being funny. The guy retired because he couldn't be f***ed. I don't really understand why he's now covering the sport. If he didn't want to do the sport when he was actually racing in it, why the f*** is he travelling around commentating on it? What is that about? Go do something else. Honestly, the guy could have still been racing. All these people, drivers who are like in the paddocks, if only I could get back in the car one more time. Meanwhile, Nico Rosberg's in the back going, well, I won here a few years ago. That was good. Obviously, I binned off the car after I'd won the championship because I didn't want to f***ing lose again. F*** off. Deutschbag. I came up with that pun about 4 years ago and never has it held true. I love Germany and it's not offensive, but Deutschbag. Take Nico Rosberg.
If he comes back in 10 years' time and does his memoirs and talks about his races, I can deal with it. But 2 years after? No. Come on.
Well, that's the off.
Now that's an example of when we need that jar, okay?
Yeah. We're going to bring in a swear jar. And you know what? I'd have happily paid all that for that. It deserved it. You deserve it, Nico. Get a grip.
Off Hot Fuzz. Yes. That were those really funny characters for all the different swearers to censor him or whatever.
Whatever, I don't care. It's all worth it. Race rating. That's where we are now. So we've done two this season. It's out of 11. We didn't rate China last year, so this will be a new score. I know what the rating is for Bahrain. I think I like this race better than Bahrain, but you've already said, Callum, you didn't. And you didn't rate Bahrain on the pod. So just give us a rating out of 11.
I guess 8.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty fair shout. Rich?
Yeah, I was going to say 9.
Okay.
I think it was it's a good race. Had strategy, had excitement. It was just that little first quarter that wasn't quite fully there. So
I'll say 8.7 then, which gives it an average of 8.6, and Bahrain got 8.5. Sorry, Callum. There we go. We'll continue that list. We'll have to post the scores up on social media or something at some point so people keep track of it as they would like to. Short one, China. Who leaves with the biggest smile heading home on their private jet? Rich?
Ricciardo.
You say that every week anyway. And he's got a fat lip, Callum, so there we go. Daniel Ricciardo?
Yeah.
You can make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link for you, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, and Spotify and Radio Public too. But of course, if your player still isn't included, then just let us know with an email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And please rate and review us on iTunes. The link is nrf1.uk/isonitunes. Thank you so much to the extra ratings we've had on there. I've only just seen them today. That's brilliant. And I know they've been there a while, some of them. So please, if you're listening, sling another one in. Keep the ratings coming in because that always does us a good turn. Great one here from Godly Word. One out of five, not for me. You guys fail consistently, fail. So that's badly written. You guys fail consistently, fail to be objective and neutral about Lewis Hamilton. I mean, personally, Callum, I blame you for that. Anything you want to say?
I mean, I say everything because I think it's true. Whether that's against Vettel or against Hamilton, I don't really care.
It is fair. I'm going to change your intro to the guy Lewis Hamilton fans love to hate, because that's just how it is, Callum. But if you do leave a review, don't worry, I won't read you out, and that's good for me. All ratings are good. I don't care. That to me is hilarious. Thank you very much, godly word.
It's probably done that because we keep saying leave a review. Yeah, so yeah.
I'll show you a f***ing review. So there we go. Brilliant stuff. Next up then, Ray Cole, we really are running out of time, but next up, round four, we're already into four of 21 of the 2018 F1 season, Azerbaijan. As I said, Baku. You say Baku now, no one thinks of, oh, nice beaches, nice place to go for a holiday, looks quite nice, I'd like to go and visit. Everyone thinks, what a f***ing nuts race it was last year. And I guess the first year it was pretty poor, but the F2, or GP2 as I think it was then, race was also nuts. So it maybe just needed the F1 teams to get used to it, to take a risk, because I think there were maybe safety concerns and people maybe wanted to be a bit cautious first time around in F1. Second time around, all hell breaks loose. What are we going to get this year? Is it going to be nuts again, Rich?
I don't think as nuts as last year. I think we'll have another good race, but I think it'll just be a bit calmer than last year and a bit more sensible and a bit more brake testing / side swiping.
12 out of 11 the race got last year. I mean, even from, you know, Sebastian being brake tested by Lewis, as he said, and then just driving into the side of Lewis, and Lance Stroll doing something that he's not really got anywhere near to doing since. Or has he been on the podium since? I can't remember now.
No,
good. Thank you, Rich. What do you reckon, Callum?
There's no way it's going to be anywhere near as good as last year.
Excellent. There's a preview for you.
I mean, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, I suppose the worst part of the aspect of overtaking with these cars is that it's so heavily aerodynamically dependent, and so much of it goes through the floor, and the idea that actually having ground effect increases overtaking is kind of academic. But at least in the first sector, there are a lot of long straights that come after 90 degree corners, so at least in that part of the lap, it's not really down to aerodynamics as such, and it's more dependent on mechanical grip. I think there are three of the four softest tyres that are coming to this race, so mechanical grip shouldn't be at a premium, so hopefully there is quite a lot of slipstreaming going on and a lot of overtaking.
Yeah, the old McLaren will get out the toe, won't they? Is that what they call it? The toe in quali, which they got, they used in China, obviously with Fernando. Look, I've been to Indy, this is what we do. I like that. You've reminded me there, Callum, that we haven't seen the f***ing hard or f***ing soft tyres yet, have we? So maybe we'll get to see, we're not going to get to see them yet though, are we?
Not until Monaco. Okay. I don't think.
So f***ing soft in Monaco?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Love it. Right. That leaves us just to make a prediction. Now, in our Patreon exclusive pod, we make all our predictions. So we try and keep it just to one now in the 2018 Prediction League. We've got a 2-week break now before Baku. So I'm aiming to have us brought bang up to date in terms of the prizes, who's won in the opening three races of the weekend, what the standings are and where everyone is. That is my plan. The rules are, you get your predictions in before the start of FP1, and you have a maximum of 5 predictions you can make for each race weekend. If you are a paid up Patreon, A, thank you. B, good decision. C, you get the chance to win a prize if you top perform after each race weekend. If you're not a patron, that's fine. Get involved, and we will certainly keep you in the standings as much as possible over the course of the season. Rich, I know you've already written down your 5. You're a man who always likes to be prepared. What's the one you want to read out for this pod?
Now, I've got a bit of a twist on my podcast, but I'm going to save the twist for the next one. So, excitement. But the first one I'm going to say is a McLaren podium.
What on earth is the okay, McLaren podium?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm just thinking, why not?
Basically, Stoffel's going to tow Fernando all the way around the race until the end.
And then break down on the last corner and...
maybe Nico Rosberg will get a drive, you know, for this weekend. Callum, how about your prediction?
I'm going to say at some point during the weekend before the race, one of the Toro Rossos will be top of the speed traps.
Good man, Callum. Why not? Isn't that fairly ridiculous, though? Has Honda got that much pace in it?
You'd be surprised.
Okay, I would be. You are correct, factually correct.
Well, it happened in, I think, both China and Bahrain, so...
I'm going to go for Lance Stroll to get into Q2, as if. But there we go. He did so well there last year. Why the hell not? And that's it. That will do for our little teasers in terms of our predictions. As I said, much more on our Patreon-exclusive podcast. But other than that, we are done. Thanks, gents. Enjoy the run-up to Baku, everyone. Let's hope it lives up to last season, although we've already effectively said it won't. Remember, if you want to hear more from us about China, the prospect of Baku, the latest F1 news and everything else going on, then you can hear our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including what Vettel has over Hamilton, Bernie's big idea, and the threat of Force India. For that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/NRF1 and you can do that now because we're basically finished. We will return with E219, our Baku review, and another bonus Patreon edition shortly after the action in Azerbaijan. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and goodbye from the crew, from Callum.
Goodbye.
And Rich.
Bye.
And myself. Good night. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to the honey badger and here's to more where that came from, even once that lip has stopped being just so fat. Until Baku. Goodbye!